This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is John Bode, President and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with CRA's John Bode next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's crop insurance industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 490 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. The nation's corn refiners don't often get the respect they deserve with regard to significance of the ag industry. Aside from contributing billions of dollars to the economy and millions of U.S. jobs, corn refiners have a hand in about 80% of the food and non-food products in grocery stores today. Corn Refiners Association President and CEO John Bode says the Green Revolution and efforts toward sustainability are opening doors for corn refiners.
We see it as table stakes. We need to be sustainable to continue to grow our markets. We don't have markets expressly because of our sustainability profile, but we are dedicated to advancing, our members are dedicated to advancing sustainability. It's the right thing to do, and it's the right way to present the products they have.
So, John, how has and how will biotechnology impact the corn refining industry and certainly the volume of products that are available for consumers?
We are vigorous advocates of biotechnology, and Jeff, I like to think of it in terms of technology in agriculture and related industries. So it's the biotechnology, the genetics and the seeds, but also all of the technology in the production of agriculture, which advances food security and sustainability, and then the uses of technology beyond that. And biotechnology is important in our industry in particular because of precision fermentation. And so what's going on is very high-tech, if you will, fermentation processes that yield new products with amazing new uses. And that holds tremendous potential for growth in the agriculture bioeconomy. The last time USDA looked at it over a four-year period, there was a 27% increase in the growth of that industry, and we know it's grown faster in Europe and Asia.
So I would think from two different angles, biotechnology plays a role, not only in the sustainable supply of corn for your industry, but also perhaps in output traits that is coming from the corn that farmers raise. But as well, biotech, as you mentioned, in the refining process as well.
Absolutely. And so we think technology across the board is the key. And we, as long as we have science and risk-based policies that are efficient and predictable, we can continue to embrace appropriate uses of technologies to drive food security and sustainability. And also, it's fundamental to the growth of the advanced bioproducts, so the renewable chemicals and products.
John, from your perspective or that of your board and leadership, would you say that there is an adequate amount of research dollars invested in the industry and in the agriculture that supports it?
Jeff, first of all, our industry is investing very heavily in research, but we need more research done at the governmental level, and because that's in a different niche. So we need that government research to help drive the bioeconomy in fundamental ways, and then individual companies will compete with their own research dollars to try to innovate in application of that research effort. But, you know, Jeff, one of the things that's really wrong is that we have some of the wonderful scientific breakthroughs occurring in the U.S., but because we don't have the capability, the resources on converting that to scalable manufacturing, those technologies, those scientific breakthroughs are being exported to Europe and to Asia for manufacturing there. And that's taking jobs as well as markets away from our farmers. And that's one of the things we'd like to address in this farm bill.
John, this is a related question, and I think you touched on it there. Is there a regulatory structure in place in the U.S. that would allow these new opportunities to be discovered and developed, not only for corn farmers, but also for the corn refiners?
Great point, Jeff. I think what we are looking at is, of course, in terms of the flowchart, the development of new products. The scientific advances are at the base, but then we need to bridge what is called the valley of death, where you need to prove that new technology is scalable and can be done at scale and manufactured effectively. I'm told that the U.S. has 15 hubs of innovation and manufacturing for bioeconomy, and Europe has 175. And that's the kind of competitive disadvantage we have there. And that's why we need more investment in taking these breakthrough scientific developments to manufacturing scale, and so we keep those jobs at home and have the markets served by American farmers.
John, we could spend the rest of today and part of tomorrow as well talking about the 23 Farm Bill, but from the corn refiner's perspective, because you are so plugged in to so much of this industry, what are the top things that really are priorities for your membership that you'd like to see from Congress in this new legislation?
Well, Jeff, it starts for us. Our number one, we want to work with our most important strategic ally, the corn growers, and having effective risk management tools for corn farmers and crop insurance is important to conservation. Their priorities in conservation are our priorities, so we work hand in glove with them, are very supportive. In addition to that, there are significant opportunities to grow the biotechnology, and we are part of the Ag Bioeconomy Coalition with corn growers, soy, but also Farmers Union, Farm Bureau, National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, Growth, Renewable Fuels. So there are a lot of us involved in that. And what we are promoting are policies that allow the products like bio-based materials, fuels, and chemicals to develop, as well as the necessary economic tools to support the ag bioeconomy, like rural broadband, research, and infrastructure.
John, we've proven over the past several farm bills that it takes coalition. It takes a group of individuals to be able to bring this policy across the goal line. So could you identify perhaps some of the coalitions that the corn refiners are working with to see your goals realized?
Yes, sir. So the Ag Bioeconomy Coalition is a very important one. We are part of a coalition supporting crop insurance. We're part of a coalition supporting SNAP choice. We have a number of other coalitions we're part of. We also really appreciate the opportunity to be part of the Food and Beverage Issue Alliance. So that is a forum where all of the food trade associations can come together and find commonality on specific issues and work on those. So it's a forum where coalitions are formed, and the Corn Refiners Association is honored to chair that effort this year.
All right. So then let's look at one that you mentioned, the Bioeconomy Coalition. From your website, I see that the bioeconomy contributing $470 billion to the economy and 4.6 million jobs. John, when we talk about a bioeconomy, what are we discussing, and how is that different, or how is that industry evolving even yet today?
Yes, and you know, Jeff, that 4.6 million American jobs is a little out of date. So we're eager to get more current numbers where it'll be even higher. And these jobs are diverse. Many are STEM-based, like chemists, engineers, and accountants. They're often the best-paying jobs in the area. And what they do is you can take the industry that we represent as an example. Where corn is produced, we build a stronger market for that corn to be refined and then developed into advanced bioproducts. Dextrose is converted to uses that make all kinds of things. And so the renewable chemicals, also more broadly, we look at what we call the kernel of innovation, where corn products are found in just about everything you can imagine. So before I got out of the house this morning, it was in my deodorant, my toothpaste, my breakfast, and certainly the soap and deodorant. It's found all over the place. And the more we use these renewables, it has big advantages for our rural economies and also for our environment.
John, I had an opportunity back in 1999 to travel with the Pioneer Fellows Mission, U.S. Grains Council, to Taiwan, to South Korea, and Japan. And in that time, so many years ago, one of the places they were excited about was starch-based plastics. They have a trash issue. They have a lot of people living in small spaces, and plastic bags just didn't work with their digesters and others. They wanted products that broke down, and they were terribly excited about starch-based plastics. Is that a reality still today?
It certainly is, and we're seeing it's on the market. And one of the things that's challenging about plastics, Jeff, is when you think about it, they take so many different forms. And so plastic for one use is different from plastic for another. And so these plastics, these plant-based plastics, and we're very proud of the fact that a great many of them are corn-based, they have advantages for the environment in how they're produced. So they tend to have lower carbon footprint, significantly lower. They have very good functionality. They work as well as their competitive products. And then many of them have end-of-life advantages. So that means they can be recycled, right, as part of the regular recycling stream. And some of them, depending on the plastic and the use, some of them are even compostable, so they can go into composting and they break down.
So, John, one more step in the area of plastics. Food packaging has become an issue. Even the products that we carry the things that we buy from the supermarket home to the store. Is food packaging an area of this bioeconomy that can also see growth?
Yes, and it has tremendous opportunities. You look at some of the market leaders like PepsiCo, that has done a great deal in this space, and they're really forward-leaning. They are a member of the Plant-Based Products Council. That is a separate trade association that CRA supports because of the way it works to advance that circular economy based on innovative products derived from agricultural commodities.
John, I know that you as well play an instrumental role in the Food and Beverage Issue Alliance. A number of issues are coming here, from nutrition labeling that is always appearing to be in the headlines, but as well developing new dietary guidelines for Americans. I know there's been plenty of discussion among that and plenty more to come.
Absolutely. Of course, the new Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee has been formed, and they're meeting. You know, Jeff, from our perspective, we have been at this with the first dietary guidelines issued in 1980. I was involved in putting together the charter for the first Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, which gave rise to the 85 dietary guidelines. And we've been at this for a very long time, and the obesity problem has just gotten worse. I think what we need to recognize is that the National Academy of Sciences has developed very thoughtful recommendations for how to improve the scientific integrity of this process. And those recommendations have not been adopted. And if we had a more science-based process, we would do a better job for American public health. And, you know, from our industry's perspective, our industry makes all kinds of things from corn. We can adapt, and we just need to know what is it that the market needs, that consumers need, and that can be provided. What doesn't help is back and forth changes that don't have a good scientific footing and therefore keep changing. So that is something we feel needs to happen, and we're also very enthusiastic about word that we're hearing that the Department of Agriculture will provide funding for dietary reference intake research work so that we can advance this science-based process to dietary guidance.
A buzzword in Washington now is sustainability. In addition to the coalitions that you work with, I know you're involved in field to market. I know you're doing some work with pollinators. But also at the same time, just looking at advances in your industry to reduce your footprint, but also at the same time, increase your productivity.
Absolutely, Jeff. You know, our industry has such an admirable story to tell about sustainability, and we're real excited. We will very soon be announcing a new life cycle analysis of some refined corn products, and that will show some very solid progress. We see it as a comprehensive effort. So we're concerned about our CO2 emissions, but we're also concerned about water. We're concerned about soil health. We're concerned about municipal waste issues. And so that comprehensive approach, and it starts with working with our growers, so that we encourage and incentivize them to best practices. And Jeff, you and I both know best practice on one farm is not necessarily going to be best practice on another, because that's the diversity of agriculture. But to do it in a science-based way that's thoughtful, and then all the way through the process, through our manufacturing, how we transport and work with our customers.
John, always around the first of spring, National Agriculture Day, we're updated on the impact of agriculture to the nation. I understand that new data is coming that may show agriculture's impact even on a more focused and local level.
That's right, Jeff. So the Corn Refiners Association is privileged to be one of about 25 organizations that works to support the feedingtheeconomy.com website and the annual economic analysis that shows the economic importance of American agriculture. And it demonstrates that agriculture really is foundational to our nation's economy. That's released each National Ag Day, but this year for the first time, and it should be coming out this week, we will have new economic impact analysis at the county level. And I'm excited about this. I'm excited that that will be available to Congress in a farm bill year. I think that will help them. And I think it will show some interesting things.
John Bode, we want to thank you very much for being with us on this edition of Open Mic. John, you've been here before, and you know that our guest gets the last word, and today that's you with the Corn Refiners Association.
Thanks, Jeff. I always enjoy Open Mic and excited about this opportunity. The point I would like to make is our trade agreements, how we work with the rest of the world is of fundamental importance. And the rest of the world is really leaving us behind. If you look at the data, the amount of trade that China has had since 2010, it's almost four times as much as the U.S. So they are not only the leading manufacturer and leading trading company, country in the world, but they have four times as much international trade as the U.S. And that is economic relationship that leaves us at a major disadvantage economically and strategically.
Our thanks to John Bode, President and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.